well-fed relatives. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob back in his hometown of Cleveland Hope telling you folks in Ohio to use Pepsodent, your teeth will never look worn. You'll always be able to chew a lime, and after you start dating, you'll soon be marrying. It'll be a good alliance because there won't be any tiffin.
Yes, sir.
And I hope you see your point. That's all, loco, but this is my hometown. Down Cleveland. Cleveland is all decorated for the sesquicentennial. Nice way of cleaning your teeth. Yes, sir. There are signs everywhere saying 150 years old, and I'm still trying to catch the guy who put them all under my picture. We had a wonderful plane trip in here on the Constellation that's Buck Rogers' dream come true. We came across in the stratosphere. In fact, we were so high, W.C. Fields flew escort for us all the way to Kansas City. Over the Rockies, the stewardess served lunch. I said, why peppermint sticks for lunch? He said, that's celery. Your nose is bleeding. And once I looked out of the window and I saw a guy floating by in midair. I said, hey, what are you doing out there without a parachute? And he said, I don't need one. I'm Ray Milan. But I had a wonderful trip. I didn't feel a thing until we landed at Cleveland, and the stewardess helped me out from under my seat. When we flew in over the city and I saw Cleveland, a lump came in my throat. It was that apple I tried to swallow over Albuquerque. But I want to tell you that Constellation has got every accommodation. In fact, when you're ready for breakfast, you stick your hand out the window and an eagle lays a fresh egg in it. The pilot kept saying the plane was as comfortable as your living room, and he was right, although I did feel sorry for the saxophone player who opened the door and stepped out after the milk. When we arrived here in Cleveland, what crowds at the airport? The police had the ropes up, but I demanded a trial first. But I love this old town of Cleveland. Somehow, even the wind off the lake doesn't seem as cold as it used to be. Of course, I've got underwear now. I've got a brother here in the wholesale meat business. He had trouble with shortages, but he's getting plenty of meat now. The Cleveland Indians are selling him all their old ball players. And if Tris Speaker's listening, I'm only kidding. A good portion of my family still lives in Ohio. I got a brother doing fine down at Canton and another one doing five at Columbus. When I left Cleveland 10 years ago, my father said I would go a long way. In fact, he nailed the door of the boxcar shut just to make sure. But I lived in a neighborhood here where the people were poorer than church mice. And you know, church mice used to be awfully poor until Crosby made Going My Way. That personally, and I went back and paid a visit to my old schoolroom and sat in my old desk, and there was the same old inkwell, the same old books, and the same old shaving kit. They're very proud of me out of Fairmont School, though. In fact, on my old desk is a bronze plaque that said, Bob Hope slept here.
Time restrictions are ending. Now the toothpaste you wanted is here. It's a new, better-than-ever Pepsodent toothpaste with twice as much irium. This new Pepsodent has a wonderfully refreshing taste, a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This new Pepsodent with twice as much irium cleans teeth better, cleans better between teeth, makes your breath cleaner, fresher, too. You've never had a finer toothpaste. And never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents.
Yes, two 25-cent tubes. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents. Get this new Pepsodent. Compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. Compare its taste. Compare results. See how quickly, how safely this new Pepsodent with twice as much irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how new Pepsodent cleans teeth better. Cleans better between teeth, too. See how fresh it makes your whole mouth feel.
Compare it now during the sensational introductory offer. Get two 25-cent tubes of new, improved Pepsodent for only 29 cents. A 50-cent value for only 29 cents. Don't delay.
Here comes Jimmy Adams, our boy.
Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You're never satisfied until the teardrops start. I tried to shower you with loving kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My poor heart is sagging the way you toss my heart around. A crying shame. I bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my dreams apart, or you won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
Yes, sir. That was You Won't Be Satisfied, sung by Skinny Ennis, the only singer in radio who can make one lung sound like none. Edgar, step in. What did you think of that fast flight in from Los Angeles on the Constellation this morning?
Man, we came in so fast, I didn't even have time to take a breath.
Well, that didn't make any difference. Today wasn't your day to breathe anyway, was it? Huh? You know, but it's almost unbelievable, Skinny, that the Constellation could bring us from Los Angeles here in 11 hours and 40 minutes.
Bob, it didn't take 11 hours and 40 minutes, did it?
Oh, yeah. 7 hours from California to Cleveland and 4 hours through traffic from the airport to the Carter Hotel. Did it in the bus I was in anyway. Say, how did you like your accommodations on the Constellation coming in?
Well, not bad, but I was a little cramped.
Cramped? You shouldn't have been. I thought you'd be very comfortable in there.
Yeah, but those golf clubs take up a lot of room in the bag, too.
Can't understand it. I took the putter out. By the way, Skin. Say, while we're in Cleveland, I'd like to show you the street I was born on.
Street? What's the matter? Couldn't you afford a hospital?
Well, in those days, they had long traffic signals. But you know, Skin? You know, Skin? They even named a street after me here in Cleveland.
Well, so what? They named a street after me in North Carolina, too.
I know, but mine's not a dead end.
Man, how can you stand there with your hat off and say that?
How can you stand with your hat off? Well, shut my face, boy. Well, Francis Langford, look at him. Hello, Francis.
How are you, Lester?
What did you say?
I said, hello, Lester.
Lester?
Yes.
Never let you look at my family album again. Francis, Skinny and I were just talking about the trip on the Constellation. Wasn't it wonderful?
I thought so, but surely you didn't have much fun pouting all the way.
Well, you'd have pouted, too.
Oh, Bob, the pilot couldn't open a window just so you could hold your paper windmill out. See, Bob, I meant to ask you. Were your folks glad to see you?
Not particularly, Francis. They were just as happy getting it through the mail. I send the big tube every week, you know. But I got a great thrill getting off the plane at the airport and seeing Major Barry and seeing all those people out there.
Well, I imagine so, but weren't you carrying it a little too far, running up and kissing that one man?
Well, you wouldn't understand, Francis. You didn't have a draft for it. No, really, he was the mayor. Wasn't it nice of him to give me the keys to the city?
Yes, he said that would be best.
He thought that would be best?
Mm-hmm. After you left last time, it was so much trouble digging those hairpins out of all the locks.
That shouldn't have been me. I'm a paperclip man.
Well, it must have been interesting looking up the old landmarks you used to know.
Yeah, it's too bad so many of them are married. Francis, where are you staying?
Oh, I'm stopping at the Carter Hotel, Bob.
Oh, really? Well, I'm stopping at the Carter, too.
I know, but they gave me a room.
Oh, well, what do I care? The janitor's a pretty good gin rummy player. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure now to bring you a friend of mine, a former golf partner, and one of the outstanding political figures of our state of Ohio, the governor, His Excellency Frank J. Lausche.
Thanks, Bob, and thank you, Democrats.
Welcome to the Fabsidon Show, Governor.
Thank you, Bob, and I can only say it's a pleasure for me to appear with one of America's most talented personalities.
No wonder this guy's governor. Oh, you didn't have to say that, Governor.
I know, Bob, but in my business, a vote is a vote.
You must really be popular here. I even saw a Republican applauding.
I'm amazed. You saw a Republican applauding.
Well, he wasn't exactly applauding. He was clicking two bricker buttons together. But, Governor, I'll tell you, it was really decent of you to consent to appear in our program.
It's all right, Bob. I don't run for re-election until next fall, and by that time, the public might forget.
You bring a writer-up from Columbus with you, kid? By the way, Governor, don't you think that you could find me some sort of a political job? You know, radio is pretty shaky, and you never know when the sponsor's liable to turn the power off, you know.
Well, right at the moment, Bob...
Well, I don't mean anything big, Governor. Just a little something in the day coach of the official gravy train. Sort of a small pig's knuckle in the old pork barrel, huh? For instance, how about me going to banquets with you and sneering back at the Republicans?
Bob, please, you have the wrong idea entirely. In Ohio, we always play ball with the Republicans.
You play ball with the Republicans?
Yes, of course. We make sure they don't spend too much time up at bat. But, Bob, you haven't lived in Cleveland for 10 years, have you?
No, I haven't.
And you've made pretty good money now, don't you?
Well, not bad. What about it?
Well, Bob, I have a lot of influence, but I regret to say, after this year, I'll have to stop your relief check.
Well, summer's coming, and I can always reopen my frozen custard booth at Euclid Beach, anyway. Governor, tell me confidentially, is that rumor true that you have ambitions to get to the White House?
Why, Bob, how could a rumor like that ever start?
Last week, a piano teacher was seen sneaking in your back door.
Bob, Bob, I guess you've been pretty busy since you arrived here, haven't you?
Yes, I haven't even had time to see my old home.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Bob. But I guess they haven't told you.
Told me about what?
Our recent slum clearance program.
I could always go to my country home in Warrensville. It's all.
Tell me,
that's
Bob.
The local Riviera, folks.
Bob, are you going to be here for the National Golf Open at Canterbury?
Oh, no, you don't, Gov. You can't rope me into a game after that last game we played.
Oh, I see. You're just jealous because I won,
well,
eh?
No wonder. You can't beat a governor.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when I made that hole-in-one, the police commissioner ran over, shoved a machine gun in my face, and said, "What a wonderful shot the governor just made. Now let's see what you can do."
More than I can stand, I give up. Well, Bob, I want to thank you sincerely for bringing your show back here to Cleveland, and to add another word of thanks for the many things you've done to improve the city of Cleveland.
Oh, well, that's very sweet, Governor, but wait a minute. What improvement did I make? I left Cleveland in 1928.
Well, that doesn't leave much for me to say. You asked the question and answered it, too.
Yeah.
Yes, with wartime restrictions ending, the new toothpaste you wanted is here. It's the better-than-ever new Pepsodent toothpaste with a cleaner, brighter taste that means cleaner, brighter teeth. This wonderfully refreshing new Pepsodent contains twice as much irium, the exclusive cleansing ingredient that only Pepsodent can give you. You've never had a finer toothpaste, and never an introductory value like this.
Right now, you can get two tubes of new post-war Pepsodent for only 29 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes, a 50-cent value for only 29 cents.
Get it, compare it with any toothpaste you've used before. See how quickly, how safely this new Pepsodent with twice as much irium removes the film that makes your teeth look dull. See how it cleans teeth better. Cleans better between teeth. Makes your breath cleaner, fresher, too. Compare it now while you can get two 25-cent tubes of new Pepsodent toothpaste for only 29 cents. This introductory offer is limited, so act at once. Ladies and gentlemen, in honoring Cleveland's sesquicentennial, we had planned to give you a botany playlist tonight, but upon arriving here and learning that a sesquicentennial is not a flower, Bob decided to change at the last minute, so we will now present some episodes from the early life of Bob Hope, or Nature Strikes Back. We take you back to the night of May 23rd, 1911. The stork is winging its way through the sky above Cleveland.
Darn that soft coal.
When Papa Hope comes home from work, he peeks at little Robert lying in his crib and says happily,
well, what do you know, a swordfish.
But little Robert showed early signs of becoming a child prodigy. Was really a surprise to his parents, and without warning, he uttered his first words.
Da-da! Da-da! Isn't that wonderful, Father? And just think, he's only 14.
Finally, at the age of 16, Bob Hope teams up with another kid and goes into vaudeville.
Tell me, Mr. Bones, what's a cow?
What's a cow?
You heard me, what's a cow?
That's a horse that's going bowling.
Bob grew up and went out to Hollywood to win fame and fortune, but he never forgot his folks. Each week, he sends them a box of apples, which they sell on the corner of Prospect and Ontario. And now we find Bob's parents in Cleveland, Ohio, living in the little house that Bob built for them.
The rain will soon stop, Ma. Keep treading water.
Can't understand it, Paul. The roof never leaked before.
Well, I was up there yesterday and forgot to screw the cap on it. Gee, I sure wish we'd get a letter from our son, Robert.
What for, Pa? There's never anything in him but writing. I wonder what our son Robert's doing out in Hollywood now.
Same old thing, I guess.
Oh, really? That's odd. I heard he got a job. About time he took your exercise, ain't it, Paul?
Yeah, I guess so, Ma. Here goes. Okay, now for the toes and the other foot.
The mortgage is due today. If our son Robert don't get here with the $10,000, we'll lose the old homestead.
Well, what of it, Ma? If we get kicked out, all we got to do is go around any apartment building and rent an apartment.
Yeah. That's right, Pa. There's lots of vacant places around.
Yeah, gee, that was fun, Ma. Now, this time you light up and blow the smoke in my face. Don't you worry, Ma. Our son Robert will get here with the money.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
There must be a party line. There's a horse on the phone.
Kelowna, are you the banker?
Right. J. Vance Swearingen, Kelowna. Railroads consolidated, bands amalgamated. Also, butter sold at midnight under the high-level bridge.
Well, listen, Kelowna, my son sent me a check last week that should have covered it. How much was his check for?
I can't tell.
You can't tell?
No, it hasn't stopped bouncing yet.
You know, Professor, for a banker, you sound a little jerky.
Well, I'm chilly, Hope. I spent all day in the Frigidaire.
What were you doing in the Frigidaire?
Figuring up frozen assets. It's no use pleading. Get the mortgage money and have it at your house tonight. I'll be there at 6 with the hot needles and firing squad.
You're really money mad.
Well, you see, Hope, I want all the things I never had as a child. Wine, women, and a mink string for my yo-yo.
Kelowna, tell me, how can you be so tight?
Easy, Hope. Every morning, alum on my Wheaties.
Kelowna? We haven't got the money. money to pay the mortgage, what are you going to do to us?
Well, don't worry about a thing. There's a man right here in the bank now explaining why he can't pay his mortgage. And he isn't the least bit nervous about it. Of course, he stutters a bit.
But now, will Bob Hope Jr. arrive in time to save the family homestead? Will Professor Colonna's mustache get back from the dry cleaners before Wednesday? Will a sponsor put up with this kind of a program much longer? Keep tuned in and try and find out. We now take you to the cabin of a speedy Constellation. Bob Hope is forward, anxiously talking to the pilot.
Are you sure we're going to make it, pilot? I've got to get there for the mortgage. We got enough gas?
Enough gas? We've been out of gas since Chicago.
Out of gas since Chicago? What have we been flying on?
Never mind that. Just keep talking.
What's that?
I won't have enough gas to land. You better bail out.
Okay, I've got the parachute on.
Don't forget, jump. Count to ten, then pull the ripcord.
Okay, here I go, Geronimo! One, two, three.
Eight, nine, ten.
Here's my house right over here, Skin. You can do these things in radio. I'll go in and surprise Ma.
Well, lawsy sakes, it's son Robert come home with the mortgage money.
The mortgage money? What mortgage money? Hey, Ma, I got money. Let me back in.
Just in time. Banker Colonna is foreclosing the mortgage. We can't pay.
Well, if you can't pay the mortgage, then I'll have to take your daughter with me.
Colonna, there are no girls in the family, and put me down. And besides, Colonna, where's your heart? Don't you know that the quality of mercy is not strained?
What's that?
The quality of mercy is not strained. What do you say to that?
Makes it pretty lumpy, doesn't it?
Listen, we shouldn't be discussing this in front of the old folks. We'll go over to your office. Where is it?
Over in Astor.
Beulah?
Glad to know you, Beulah. I'm Colonna.
We're going to pull this kind of stuff at Higby's tomorrow at 3, huh? Colonna, why aren't you a sporting man about this mortgage? We'll duel for the mortgage.
All right, so. We'd better hurry or I'll be working with Red Skelton.
Where is that? Yeah.
All right.
Fine. I'll just take this .45 revolver and you lucky man, take this bow and arrow.
Sounds like a fair arrangement. Ready.
Ready. I'll count three. One, two, three.
Ow! Didn't know I was a Cleveland Indian.
All thanks to the memory of being asked to share in this great big affair. From coast to coast, no better host than the American Legionnaire. And we thank you so much. Thanks to Governor Frank J. Lausche and all you Clevelanders for being with us tonight. You were wonderful. Governor, you were great, really. Also, I'd like to say thanks again to Captain Pat Gallup, Chief of Operations for TWA, and that wonderful crew for making our trip in the Lockheed Constellation so delightful.
Excuse me, Bob. A man whose name has long been identified with aiding humanity, Mr. Basil O'Connor, the National Chairman of the American Red Cross, is waiting in Washington to say a few words. Mr. Basil O'Connor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.